I hope there was a panel here, but I guess I'm in. These things, I thought we'd better show them to you, if you haven't already seen them. This is Rosemary here.
Well,
when she was a little girl, she used to come to the dancing show, Disco Teen in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey. And she made this little picture here, which she used to show. It's on the DVD, too. And we had a sponsor called Fisher Bread, Buttercup White Bread. We've got all this stuff on here. That weighed one pound? Yeah. Only five vegetables, something or other, it says. But she made the little girl look like me, somehow. And a loaf of bread cost 27 cents in those days. It was white bread, I guess, one of them. And I remember when I did the commercials, I used to kick the loaf of bread and toss it around, do all kinds of things. But they never objected to it. I guess people like who were advertising liked repetition no matter what. And then over here, she made this. Now, I forget, when did you make this one?
That was when you had
I can't hear a word she said. What'd she say, John?
Like on
Channel 7.
Channel 7, yeah. So this is what it is here. This is colossal. And it's made of wax. And it's a very religious thing. Because my first sister went to a temple and used the candles. Yeah. She worked at a temple. She didn't worship, she worked. Okay. And so she made this of wax. And we don't know whose hair, but it's real hair. Is it not none of yours, but some of hers?
My girlfriend's mother was a beautician.
Oh, a camera man, lady barbershop. Oh, it's real hair. And it's lasted. It's really in great shape. The box is kind of falling apart. The cushion belonged to her mother, she told me a while ago. Anyway, it's pretty neat. I mean, the best part of it is that the wax did not melt over the years. It's been in my closet. And the box has gotten kind of warped because it's old, what you call it?
Contact
stuff, yeah, you know. Everybody thought it was great, but it doesn't last too long. And what's the other thing we got here? Oh, the great cake. We got the great cake here. And the big picture back here. This something she made for Happy New Year, Christmas. What year?
That was Disco Teen.
The mid-60s?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she made two other great ones. One of me with like flames going up, and another one of my so-called family, my dear, my wife, and a little kid, which she has in her home right now. So we're returning these to her after all these years. There are only a few people that I'm aware of. Thank you, Igor. he's our greatest helper. This is, I was going to say something. Oh, I was going to make mention that if I ever start to say something and all of a sudden I raise my hand, you're supposed to say, what were we talking about? Because if I start in a story and you turn along, I forget what I started with. That's what's happening to my life these days. And already I forgot. Oh, yes, she made this too. She's not sure she made this, but I think it is. She said she made two other capes. Rosemary, you better get up here and get in this picture because if you made this thing, she's not sure it was hers. But the more she looks at it, she's beginning to doubt if it indeed was not hers or not. There's certain stitching and all that that she recalls. Here we go, my idea. She's been a great contributor because she's an artist. We've got all this stuff, not much more. I think if you've seen the DVD, the last half of the DVD includes some of these things that I had in my closet all these years. I used to joke about my closet like I was scared to go in there, but when they made that extended DVD, I had to go in.
had to go in and find out what was there, the old stuff that two people had sent me over the years. Now, instead of being in a closet, it's laying on the side of my so-called living room, and I don't know what to do with it. I'm trying to organize it so it doesn't clog up the walking around area, but it's pretty great. Thank you, my dear, again and again. She's a lovely lady. I remember her brother, your brother used to bring her you to the, hey, there's a Z on here, do you know that? Does that ring a bell?
No.
It doesn't. She's just not sure about this, but I'm certain I wouldn't have kept it except for the fact that she had done so many other things for us that we could use on the show. What was I talking about? If anybody have a question, that always helps them. No questions. Okay, cast dismissed. Well, this is such a beautiful room. I don't know how many people remember it, but that was solid glass over there. And there was and it's glass here. There's a skylight here. It was a great, amazing place. But Kevin told me that they lowered the ceiling, but it isn't that low. He said it was right down to here, but it isn't. And this is a great little room. It's nice that we're here again in this building. And next, we'll be here again in June. And there will be a much more crowd of all this. The midterm, the course that we give here, and the old time movies and whatever, and TV, doesn't bring as many people in the midwinter, but it's kind of fun. It's just a nice, easy crowd here today. And you don't have to wait outside in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. The worst was 3 hours and a half that people waited in line to get in the tent over at the Sheraton in bad weather. And the fire marshal said there were too many people in the tent, too many people in the building, and you can't go in until somebody comes out, all that stuff. So it was an endless wait. And yes, come in. Especially if you have a question. You have a question, yes, ma'am.
Were you ever in a movie, or did you just host?
The only question is, I can't hear a word she's saying.
Were you ever in a movie?
Yes, I was in a movie. I made one now called The Doctor Something's House of Horror, a very small part. They wanted me to do the main character, and I said, I can't remember lines, and I would hate to be reading it off, you know, cue card or something. So I backed off of that, and what's his name?
I read books.
Comrade, he's not here, and he didn't come up.
No, he didn't like to come in the
wintertime. Oh, he's in Tennessee or somewhere?
Virginia. I spoke with him just this morning.
In Virginia? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, tell him he's missing next time you talk to him. And he took the part and so on. So that's around. But I was in, the one called Brain Damage, which is on video, and something else, I can't remember, another one, but small parts, but I never got in a big time movie. You know who was in movies, and I'm about to sit down here. I'm very good at sitting down. Getting up is another question. There we are. okay, what was I talking about?
Frankenhofer,
yes. He claimed he's going to, what's his first name, the guy?
Frank
Pennywise? Yes, he did the movie, and he threatened to go back into it. He said he couldn't make any movies, or couldn't make any money or living making low-budget films, so he went back into advertising or something. But last time I saw him, he was here. He always came to the convention. I haven't seen him in 3 years, and he said he was going to do it again. Have you heard from him?
No.
He loved making scary movies, and I did a very, very small part in those things. So you asked the question of every movie, the answer is probably not. Very, very small time. I'm actually surprised that somebody didn't get a collection of all the people who were doing introductions on TV of the scary movies and put us all together in a crazy, you know, low-budget movie, but nobody ever did that. And Dick Clark, I thought years ago that he should have gotten us all together because he had a network thing, and he's doing all kinds of shows over the years, but he could have got us all together for at least one Halloween. As close as I ever came was Elvira asked me to come out, and what's his name from Cleveland? Goulardi and a guy named Stanley from California, San Francisco, who introduced the shop theater movies. So we were with her for a day or so, making some introductions for her October specials that she had out there in California. She's a really nice lady. She came here last, I think maybe October. Yes, she did. But somebody should have done it. I thought maybe Dick Clark should have been the one because he and I ran into each other in Philadelphia when he was just beginning Bandstand, and I was just beginning on TV too on a cowboy show called Action in the Afternoon. Every once in a while somebody says, I remember Action in the Afternoon. You could pick it up if you were, if you're close to 60, it would be like 1956, I think it was on the air for a year. And it was a daily show with horses and guns inside and outside. The weather, whatever the weather was great. We had to run inside the studio for the interior scenes. And it was live. You couldn't stop. You had to keep going. So if anything went wrong, you had to keep going, And it was really neat. And so then I got asked to do the horror movies. And I think he'd been doing his Bandstand show for maybe 2 years, I'm not sure. And he was very close with the producers of Cameo Parkway because they had a lot of hit records coming out of there. And so you could be on his show right away if you had a pretty good record. And they'd put you in a taxi cab and you'd go for 10 minutes out to the studio and you'd be on the air with him. I tried actually. I sent him a video when he got sick this last time. How long has it been since he had his stroke? 6 months or more?
Whatever.
A year? Yeah. So his wife is really nice. I met her years ago just at the office there where he worked. But I didn't see him over the weekend. I didn't see that live part. I saw the next day on some show. He didn't say very much, but his voice was a little different. His voice, I think, was the most damaging thing to him. He got very discouraged. But he got into speech therapy and now he can converse. But he didn't get up and walk around. I don't know. Anyway, she sent me a nice note. I sent him something to remind him that we both started about the same time in Philadelphia. He was more ambitious than I was as a businessman. He knew that this was a big business, and he got into it in a big way. And as you know, over the years, he's had all kinds of specials, beauty pageants, and all kinds of things on television. And he's really done very well. And he's a nice guy. Besides that, anybody have a question? There's a hand. 2, 3, 2. There. All right. Wait. Over there.
You had mentioned a disco.
You have
team.
To holler.
Yeah, disco team. Do you know what any of those kids are doing now, apart from?
Just routine, we have two tapes, but we haven't got permission to reproduce them. It was a Channel 47 in Newark. It was a UHF station when it happened, and we realized it was coming to an end there for about 2.5 years, and so we saved a Halloween tape. And maybe 4 weeks later, the show ended, so we saved that tape too. And they're pretty interesting to watch because we had some nice guests. Most of the time, if we had anybody who had made a hit record or something, they wouldn't bring their instruments because we had no time to set up and get a good audio sound for them. So they just came and were interviewed or wandered around through the dancers and so on. So we had several guests on each of those shows. And they added a lot to it. I remember talking to a young group, and I said to the one guy, I said, say something intelligent. He said, E equals MC squared. And I said, that's pretty smart, That's Einstein, right? Yeah. Anyway, it was great. And they had a lot of fun dancing. So someday we'll do that. Maybe we'll do it illegally and just make some... burn some things and do it. Because it's interesting to see, there was no organized dancing like on Dick Clark's show. Everybody was just dancing, doing what they felt like, and we didn't demanded couples only, anything like that. Sometimes you had almost little children could sneak in, you know, they're dancing around. But it was great. It was like a neighborhood show almost. It was very fun. Yes, we have another question here. Yes, John. John?
Did you ever meet Lou Steele? He played the creep on Channel 5 Creature Features.
What was his name?
Lou Steele. You ever met him?
It sounds like you said Loose Steele.
No, Louis Steele. Louis Steele.
No, don't know that name. Where did he do this?
This was Channel 5 Creature Features in 1980, the late or mid 70s. And he was the announcer on Channel 5 10 p.m. news, who would say, 10 p.m., you know where your children are?
Really?
Yes.
And this was on what station?
Channel 5.
Channel 5. Mm. Wow.
Because I know his son now. I got acquainted with him a few weeks ago.
Yeah. He's on the loose, is he, the son?
Yes, he is.
No, I don't remember that. That's very strange. What year do you think? In the 80s or 70s, huh?
It was the middle or late 70s, and he did it for a short time,
well,
about 1980.
You know, anybody who lived through the 60s and 70s can't remember anything. You know? Yes?
Yes, I was wondering, from a personal perspective, what's your favorite horror movie?
Okay, I need an interpretation.
From personal perspective, what is your favorite horror movie?
Oh, thank you. I think I always liked the Son of Frankenstein. Of course, Frankenstein is still himself, but I thought the Son of Frankenstein was interesting because the scenery was really far out. You know, remember the castle was kind of leaning over, and you climbed up and you went in. It's huge. A lot of special effects they had going there. I thought that was kind of neat. And the little boy got kidnapped through the secret door and disappeared and all that stuff. And what's the guy's name? It was a sergeant or something. He put the darts in his arm. You know.
Lionel
Atwill, yeah.
Inspector Crowe.
Yeah, Inspector, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was kind of neat. And it's old black and white ones, which are kind of special for where the time I got into them. And I don't know that anybody here hasn't heard the fact that I never saw those movies when I was a kid. I saw them on the television screen like you did. I never saw them in the movie house. And I didn't know what they were all about. I wasn't allowed to see them. Curses. I missed a lot of Saturday afternoon fun, too. And so in the 30s, when they made all those black and white things, that's when I was a teenager, and I never saw them. And after a while, they stopped showing them in movie houses when I grew up, and I just never had the occasion to see them. I did read the actual book, Frankenstein and Dracula. I thought I was duty-bound to read a book, you know, and they're quite different than the movie, but they had to make some changes, I mean, but that was kind of neat, the way the Frankenstein monster ended up in the ice, in the Arctic, the Antarctic, or wherever it was, running across the ice. Yeah, boy. Yes. Somebody over here. Yes, there you are.
Did you ever meet Vampire?
Have you met, what's her name, the Miss Superman out there?
Not yet.
Did she get excited when she saw your T-shirt?
What? I didn't talk to her yet.
Yeah. Yeah, what's your point?
Did you ever meet Vampire? The horror movie host? The one that Elvira pretty much copied off of?
Okay, John. Yeah.
Bela Noori played the character Vampira,
yeah,
in California in the mid-1950s.
Did I ever see her?
Never met her.
Hmm?
She was in the...
ever met her.
No, never met her. Now, somebody said that she's still alive?
Yes, she's still alive. I believe she's in her 80s. I know Rudolph Quaid, who was the author of Nightmare of Ecstasy, and he knows Vampire.
Well, she did appear occasionally on the Tonight Show, didn't she? Back some times ago, years ago, a long time ago. But I don't know that she's ever made any more movies since Plan 9, has she?
She was in The Magic Sword, Burt Gordon movie. She played a hag and she wore heavy makeup. And she was in a beatnik movie.
Why don't you come up here? I can't hear you. Get up here and grab the microphone. This is John. Yeah, grab a mic.
Yeah. Marilyn knew me. The Vampire, a show in the 1950s in California, and she was there was a dispute with over the she had a problem with the network, and that she believes that because of the show The Addams Family was in the works, she thinks that had something to do with it because her character was modeled after the Charles Addams character.
Oh, yeah.
And Marilyn Nomi is still alive. Rudolph Gray knows her. He interviewed her for his book, Nightmare of Ecstasy, which was the basis of the movie, the Disney movie, Ed Wood. And my friend Richard Bajorski, years ago, he was in California, and he ran into Rudolph, and Rudolph said, "Oh, you know who this was with me? This is Vampire." And Rudolph, "Oh." And Rudolph snapped a picture of Rudolph and Vampire together, and I saw it. But I hope. Oh, and what I did, the reason why Vampire, Mel Normie, doesn't come over here is because she doesn't want to get on a plane and she doesn't want to leave her cats.
I saw somebody had a cat on the airplane that I came back to. I was out in California. You can get on a plane with a little dog or a little cat if you got a carrier and sit on your lap on the way, which is a big change, I think. Anyway, is this working? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Don't go away. Sit down. John's been coming to these conventions for years and years. As you can tell, he knows what's going on in this crazy world of scary movies and so on. Yes, the white.
What is it about horror that attracts you to the genre?
Me? Oh, well, what is it about horror that attracts me to the genre? The first horror movie I ever saw was The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. I was about 6 or 7. This was when it came out.
This must have had a big effect on you.
I'm very much interested in the occult, the paranormal. I've been interested all my life, and that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
No doubt. Really. Well, what's your latest activity?
The most recent movie I was in was Deflowered. Was done in Indiana with the director Johnny Walker. Now Johnny was supposed to come to this show, but he decided not to because they were going to come from Indiana to here and stop on the way in Virginia to have Conrad Brooks shoot a scene with Johnny's father for Conrad's next movie. But Johnny's father had to work the next day, and they would only be able to stay one day, so they decided not to come.
It's really funny. I thought he lived down in Greenwich Village or somewhere.
No, he lives in Virginia in a trailer. See, his ex-wife has her own trailer, and they live in separate trailers, but Ruthie's trailer almost all the time because Ruthie is in a rage and she has trouble walking. She uses a cane to walk. And in fact, I spoke to Conrad, called me just this morning and asked me how was the show last night, and I told him it was good. I wish he would have came, but he wouldn't come in the cold weather. He's afraid of there might snow.
Well,
that.
So, you mean he may come in June, is that it?
Yes, he may. I hope he does.
Okay. I do, too. Conrad is amazing. If he comes, we promise to get him up here. Yeah, because he's got a lot. I've never met anybody like him. The way he talks, he just grabs a hold of you and talks with a very straight, loud voice. And he's just living for films and so on. And what's the biggest thing he ever did?
The movie he is most famous for is Plan 9 from Outer Space, in which he played Jamie the cop. Somebody here has a colorized version of it, and somebody in the deal with him has a colorized version of it.
What was that character again?
Jamie the cop. See, there were two cops in the movie. One is Kelton the cop, played by Paul Marco. And the other cop was Jamie.
Were they in the graveyard scene?
Yes.
Okay.
With Tor Johnson, who Conrad said was a very, very nice guy, Tor Johnson.
Well, that's great. You make sure he gets up here, will you?
I will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take another question. Yes, sir?
Zachary, when I mention to my coworkers I'm coming to Chiller Theater, they ask me, well, who's going to be there? And I mention some of the actors and actresses, and they look at me and they say, it doesn't ring a bell. And then I say, well, Zachary's going to be there. And their eyes light up, and a big smile comes across their face, and they say, oh my goodness, I love Zachary. How does it feel to be a living legend?
I sat and watched that DVD. I have only seen it once, and I guess last week I have to look at it again. I thought, this really was crazy. And late at night, and the other competition was Jack Parr, and I don't know who else, but I said, this is insane that what I was doing. Jumping into a movie and making fun of the commercials and all that stuff, nobody was doing that. Though I wasn't aware of it at the time, it just seemed like a lot of fun. I'm amazed I was on the air doing that stuff. How they get away with it, I don't know. Amazing. It was really insulting, the commercials sometimes, and the actors make comments to them. It was a really bad movie. It was a great experience. And it led to other things. I ended up doing the dancing show because somebody thought, a lot of young people watching the other show, so maybe they'll watch the dancing show. So that went on for about 2.5 years. And when that died, because the station wanted to go all Spanish language, Channel 47 it was. And,
yes, yeah.
So a friend of mine said, hey, they're making changes on FM radio. You've lived through all these changes from 78s to 45s, to stereo, to FM, the CDs, all this stuff. And to little bitty cameras, you can hear and send pictures all over the world. I've kind of avoided all that stuff. I've got a fax machine, which I don't really use, and a rotary phone, which I'm hanging on to just for fun. That's about as electronically as I've gotten. I'm sorry I didn't get into computers, because I really think I would have enjoyed the digital cameras and all that. You can make your own tricks. That'd be great, great fun. But I didn't do that. I forget what your question was.
It was, how does it feel to be a living legend where everyone I ever speak to knows you and remembers you with great fondness and respect?
Well, I couldn't quite hear, but I think you're saying, to me, it's just amazing to meet all of you people. And right away I say, where'd you live when you were a kid, And what was it like? My mother and father would let me watch, but after they went to bed, we'd sneak downstairs and look at the nice movie. Whatever. And some of the people couldn't watch the late movie, and they didn't see me until I got on Channel 9, where they played the movies at 9 o'clock on Friday night, and then noon on Saturday and Sunday, I think, something like that. And Channel 11, which is a very strange place for me to be, in the midst of the kiddie afternoon, when all the independent stations were trying to capture an audience for their commercial people, and they were showing cartoons and Chuck McCann and Captain Jack, Captain Jack, what do you have? Popeye, right? Officer Joe and the Three Stooges, and I was doing that for a while. What was the one called? Hercules cartoons, which weren't my favorite cartoons, but the station loved it because they were the first ones to show them on the air, and they felt it was a big deal. But I didn't like them because they weren't very, there wasn't much motion in the person. That kind of thing. So they put me on the late movies. But these conventions are just an immense amount of fun to come and meet people. You've all got memories of what you used to watch and what you weren't allowed to watch, that kind of thing. That's been great. And some of you grew up to be entertainers like John here. I had no intention of doing this when I was a kid. When I got out of the Army, I didn't know what to do, and two of my best friends also didn't know what to do, and eventually I started hanging out with a theater group, and I'm making scenery, and I seemed to like to do that, things like that. And eventually, they said, do a small part, and it kept building, and then finally, I was on that cowboy show that I mentioned earlier. Because one of the ladies that worked at that theater told me they were having auditions. And fortunately for me, I got there 4 weeks after they had the auditions and threw away all the paperwork that they'd gathered about people. And I walked in and said, gee, can I do something? I said, oh, sure. Hired me right away as an extra just to stand there and hold a horse or something when somebody galloped in. And eventually they said, I told this to her, I wish I could find that lady, but her name was... slipping. Anyway, she was the wardrobe lady for this cowboy show, and the director told me that one day she said, "Why don't you give that guy something to say? He looks so forlorn over there holding the horse." And that's how I got started getting parts. And on TV, it just happened. Hello.
Oh, somebody else is coming in. Oh, okay.
Somebody else is coming in here. Talk. This is a great little room. I like this room. Nice room. Okay. The other was kind of spectacular because you see the sky all the way up. They didn't have all these curtains here. But it's fun to be here again. Well, I hope you come back in two. Yes, you end up way back there.
I'd like to ask the delicate question. How many movies did you make and which one was your favorite?
Oh, 15 of them. My favorite, well, the ones at which I have the biggest part and the ones in which are on cable. Probably Gladiator Eroticus. I like Titanic 2000, Mr. Frankenstein. I got to work with Michael Thomas, makeup man.
Oh, yeah, he's not here today. Yeah, he's not here today. Mm-hmm. You know Michael Thomas. Did the Frankenstein and... Hunchback, but you want the Wolfman, all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, could we have a nice round of applause?
I didn't hear the question, but I guess you need the answer. Thank you for coming. I've told that some of these stories before, many times, but you're very nice and funny. Thank you, John. Good man. Good luck, man. Don't forget to get in touch with Conrad. Because I want him to tell that story about him and.
What, Johnson?
No, the guy who was Dr. No. Joseph Wiseman?
Joseph Wiseman?
You got it. Yeah. He had a great something happen on the set of a movie where...
You see him a lot.